church.
All right, y'all ready to do some singing? All right. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. More darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
One more time.
I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.
Our souls like you have the ground, Lord, that we just draw closer to you each and every day. Be with Jeff as he speaks this morning. Take away the distractions, let him focus on the work you've given him to say. That we would just learn more about you today. We thank you for your blessings and your precious name. Amen.
Just a woman. Lord, help me believe in all I can be and all that I am. You showed me the stairway I have to climb. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me, I pray, show me. Lord, do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus. one day at a time. God bless y'all.
All right, you all know this one. I'll fly away. Maybe we'll fly away, right? Laura, you want to get up and sing? Turning down an invitation now. Larry said he liked this song. With some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from the prison bars has flown, just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Hey, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Honky tonky. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the rose and the voice I and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is free. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry
Everybody hear me all right? All right. Well, if you have a Bible this morning, turn to Psalms 95. Psalms 95. Everybody have a pretty good week? All right. Everybody ready for Thanksgiving? Well, the title of today's message is, What Are You Thankful For? What Are You Thankful For? And today's message, will most likely not be that long. And if you don't have anything to be thankful for, you may go. That's my one, right? I'm thankful for that. But this week we celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving. We gather around often with family and friends and share time together. Eat too much. Anybody guilty of that? Take a nap. And some of us try to squeeze a football game in there when within these leisurely activities. Today, I want to ask us all the question, what are you thankful for in your life? A very famous person once said, happiness is not getting what you don't have, it's being content with what you do have. So before we get into the topic, I want to begin with a quote that has hit me all over the place this week. I actually put it in my article for the local paper, and it just, when you read it, you're thinking, this guy's the father of our country, and he wrote this, and then to see where our country is today. So if you look there in your notes, it's the opening quote from the Thanksgiving Proclamation signed by George Washington, President of the United States of America, October 3rd, 1789. So if anybody has any questions about how far our country has come from the beginning, this is going to end all wonder. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. How far have we fallen? And when I read that for the first time, I was reading this, and it says, and both houses of Congress, that may have been the last time they ever worked together. Right? Both houses of Congress. Oh my, how things have changed since then. We often talk about going back in time. But what would our founding fathers think if they could come to the present? If George Washington could just watch the news for one day today. He might wish for the grave again. I mean, we often think, and I, if you could go back in time and see this person or that person or be at this event or that event, but man, what if you could take those people, Abe Lincoln, George Washington, Abe Lincoln wasn't one of the founding fathers, but he was pretty instrumental of our country at an instrumental time. If you could bring those people to the present, let them just set them in front of a TV and let them watch the news just for one day, it would blow their socks off. And then you think that George Washington led men to die, shed blood in the Revolution to establish this country, to see if he could come today to see what we've done with it. What do you think he might think about that? What do you think he might say? God have mercy on us, huh? Yeah. Because we have drifted so far from the worldview in which this country, again, was founded. And I'm not saying all the founding fathers were believers or Christians. I mean, you look at Thomas Jefferson, he was considered a deist. But there's no way that you can have all men are created equal in the eyes of their creator without that coming from a Judeo-Christian worldview. They just can't get around that, right? Because an atheistic worldview would not say that, because they don't believe in a what? A creator. So let's turn this morning to Psalms 95 and see what the psalmist has to say. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with what? Thanksgiving, and let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. How much of the time in our time that we are given do we spend it griping, gossiping, and groaning? And this psalm points that our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving as we live before the Lord for all that he has done. So when you think about Thanksgiving this week, are you thinking about turkey and dressing? Are you thinking about, oh, that part of the family's coming over? Man, I sure wish they didn't have to. Right? Or Somebody's bringing some kind of special dessert that you just got sick on when you were a kid, and they've been bringing it ever since, and you just really haven't been able to tell them, keep that at home, right? I mean, what? And sometimes, for instance, holidays aren't the most fun for families because they feel like they're obligated to get together with each other, and they've never worked through problems they should have worked with 30 years ago, right? And so they're just, you know, white-knuckling it, grinding their teeth. And so holidays sometimes just ain't the most fun for people. And I think this is why. Because we've looked at all the traditions rather than the truth of who we're to be grateful to. And this psalm says exactly, come let us shout joyfully to the Lord. So Thursday, I expect when y'all get together, shout joyfully to the Lord, right? And not just shout. People go, oh no, there's some shouting. It ain't to Jesus, but there's some shouting. But we're called to shout joyfully to the Lord. And he says, the psalmist says, shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout triumphantly to him in song. Do you get the idea that Thanksgiving should be a real joyful occasion and it has nothing to do with family? Family is an added, it's an exterior, but the interior of Thanksgiving is not about turkey and dressing. It's not even about seeing family. It's about coming to this place where we say, thank you, Lord. And as I was thinking about that the other day in the deer stand, this whole idea, that's where the song come from. Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on me and always being there and these kind of things. Because I don't know if you've lived any of those verses that we sang a while ago, but I know I have. You've been there when times were dark, when life broke my heart. You held me up when I was falling apart and in tears. Anybody ever lived that? Yeah. But the Lord is always there. And this is an opportunity to say thank you for never giving up on me. Because I don't know about you, but have you ever had somebody give up on you? And you can go to the TED Talk and listen to him give the talk. He says the closer we've got to the modern time, the casualties of war have become less, say from the Civil War to now. He goes, but it's interesting that the PTSD, and I realize, and he talks about this, that they hadn't always measured it, didn't know what it was. But he goes, the PTSD numbers are climbing even though the casualties of war are becoming less. He goes, why is that the case? And this is his theory, and I think I agree with it. That 150 years ago, we were a very village-oriented society, right? I mean, just not even 150 years ago, anybody grown up here when parents in a small town, every parent had the right to discipline the child and to speak into their life and jerk a nod in them if they needed it? So it hadn't been 150 years. Some of you are like, no. But we were a village community. And when you go and you suffer together, as you do as soldiers, men and women of the military, you suffer together, there is a bond, a brotherhood, a sisterhood. There's a bond there that you don't experience except in a village. And so when we were a village people, right? When we were a village society, tribal society, we went from one tribe, the family, to the tribe of the military, and then we would come back to that tribe. But now we have forsaken the tribal society. We're individuals, even within families. And they go into the military, they serve, they suffer together, they experience that tribal bond, and then what do? When they're discharged, they come back to an individual climate. Do you think that could mess a person up? I do. I know so. And that's what makes me appreciate the church, the community of the church, because God said, I want my people to be a tribal people. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he had 12 of them, didn't he? And the church is to be God's tribe of people so that when we go out into the battlefield and face the devil and his warriors, we can come back when this tribe convenes on Sundays and Wednesdays and other nights, and we can experience a place to belong, because everybody needs a place to belong. Anybody look back in your life and you're wondering years, and what you were really wondering for was a place to belong? That's why so many people go to the drug community. It's not because they don't know the statistics. His truth. The human heart hasn't changed, and God's word hasn't changed. And how it was applied then is how we can apply it today. And how it brought hope and redemption and grace then is how it can bring hope and redemption and grace today. Amen? I don't think, in a doomsday kind of attitude, when we think about where America is, I think there could be revival. I think there could be a great awakening, and I think that God Himself in Jesus is the only answer. Both Republican and Democrats can go back and forth about what they think is going to fix the world. Only Jesus is going to change the human heart. I'm thankful for the freedom to worship, pray, and share. I'm grateful that right now that we can gather in a place like this. And we can worship together. We can pray together. We can share our hearts together regarding our faith. Now, has that been challenged in our society? Yeah. just thank God for another day, but thank God that He allows us to live in His day. Because it's His time, His possession, right? When's the last time we said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to live in your creation? I mean, think of this. God didn't have to create you and I. But He chose to put us in His creation. I'm thankful for the second chances and God being a God of loving forgiveness, aren't you? So much so that Jesus says, unless you're born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And what is He saying this? Unless you've had a do-over, right? What happens when we in the schoolyard, we kick a ball, we shank it, and somebody holler, do-over. That's exactly what God is saying in being born again. That I'm going to forgive you in such a way, it will be as if you are born again. I'm going to give you a do-over, a second chance. And how many of us have taken advantage of those second chances because we just, well, God will forgive me, God will forgive me. Well, yes, He may. But our attitude may reflect He does not. Because, not because God is not a forgiving God, but we are sinning by how we look at God's forgiveness. Does that make sense? It's almost like we've come to take it for granted so much that we've diluted God's good forgiveness. The last thing. Thankful for the cross and the resurrection that gives hope beyond the greatest enemy of death, that each one of us stands vulnerable to the enemy of death. No one has the assurance of living on this planet tomorrow. We have the assurance of God's love, His redemption, His forgiveness, and being with Him, but no one knows if you're going to be in the body tomorrow or even this afternoon, right? But I'm grateful for the cross and the resurrection because He has sealed the deal. Has ever grown. John F. Kennedy says, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Theodore Roosevelt, 1901, says, let us remember that as much has been given us, much will be expected from us. Wonder where he got that idea. It's good to see a president have a Christian worldview there. Let us remember that as much has been given us, much will be expected from us, and that true homage comes from the heart as well from the lips and shows itself in deeds. Think of when JFK said what he did and Theodore Roosevelt said what he did. There were some years apart, weren't they? And then Jesus himself says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send, listen to this close, for God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God, in John 3:17, God showed us his cards. He's a poor poker player. He said, I sent my Son not to condemn the world, but to save it, so that everyone, a part of it, may be rescued and redeemed. Amen? If that didn't give you reason for Thanksgiving, man, I'm out of cards. I don't know what else could. God is a good God. He puts up with us. He puts up with you. He puts up with me. He remembers that we're but dust. And he invites us into eternity to live with him forever. If you don't know that hope and that assurance, I pray that you come to know that today by inviting him into your life. And I hope that you have the happiest of Thanksgivings this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us this week. And we pray that join in with family and different traditions that we may have. We pray above all things, what rises above the rest is that our gratitude to you may rise to your throne, and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with us, for never giving up on us, for being there, for loving us, and, Lord, inviting us into eternity with you. Lord, our words can't express all that we owe, but we just say thank you. Thank you, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.